hard to win this for you.
I'll deny it all. I'll say you just got together and conspired about it. Okay. All right. Get this thing set up here right. All right, Neil is going to come. Neil's nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to do a fine job. Because
don't lie from pulpit.
Yeah, no. He's going to do a fine job because Ashley wrote it for him.
That's exactly true. So we did a practice run on this last night, and this will take about 10 minutes, so don't worry about it. We'll be good. We'll be out of here. Doing this week and trying to do a Sunday school lesson, our pastor needs a raise. I don't know how they do it all and keep it all straight. I didn't discuss with Pastor Hain what I get paid to do this, so we're going to take up a love offering for me. Because I have to pay for two girls' weddings eventually, so I need as much money as I can find. If you want to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2:15, very common passage, but we're going to be starting in there. Forgive me if I go quick. I am extremely nervous. This is the first time ever. It's in under one of my points. Pastor asked me to do this, and he said, he asked me if I ever had anything on my mind to let him know that I could have the 1 o'clock service, and I said, no problem, that's never going to happen. I didn't say that to him, but my thoughts walking away were, that's never going to happen, you don't have to worry about it. 2-3 weeks later, he said, I'd really like you to do something, and he explains it. You'd think about it. No problem, I'll think about it, it's never going to happen. A little while later, he comes to me right before we go on vacation. While you're on vacation, enjoy yourself, but I really want you to do a sermon on what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I think what he wanted me to talk about today. And I said, man, this is starting to narrow me down now. He's telling me a time when he's going to ask me. So then my lovely wife, every 2-3 days on vacation, been working on it yet? You been working on it yet? So I said, yes, dear, I love you. And she hates procrastination, and I'm really good at it. So,
amen. Yeah.
So the thing that he asked me to talk about was coming up, being raised in a Christian home. The thing that came to me, the word that came to me was legacy. And Dale and Amy were at our house one time. I talked about it, just a couple of minute devotion, and we're going to go into it. We're going to do, I don't know what the technical term for it is, but break every letter down, L, we'll have a word, E, we'll have a word. Go through it, see what we come up with. If you didn't get anything from it, don't worry. I won't be offended. This is just what I came up with. So the first L I'll back up. My parents, I was born and raised in a Christian family. Like I said, I'm sorry, I'm nervous when I think about them. They're still alive, but they, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Wouldn't have a family. So anyways, they taught me a lot about what a Christian is supposed to be, where you're supposed to be, how to do it, how to be the example you need to be. So L, there's all kinds of L's. Obviously, Lord, you can go through the many different L's. The one L I have is learn. You have to learn how to leave a God-honoring legacy. An obvious place to learn a God-honoring legacy is the Bible. So that's why we go to 2 Timothy 2:15. And it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this was one of our theme verses of Grace Bible for the year. And it just tells you, the place you learn how to leave a legacy is you got to be in church, you got to learn from the Bible, you have to learn from God. If you're not in your Bible, you're not learning from God, you're not going to be connected to God. We also talked in Sunday school about the all-powerful God and being connected to Him. And if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not in church, if you're not praying, you're not learning from God. So we want to go from that into Romans 10:14. These are going to be, like I said, there's going to be no major theology, and anything that I got here is just touching on stuff that came to mind. Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Obviously, we're not going to that level of being a preacher. We're going to the level of in your house. If you're father, mother, grandparent in your house, you should be teaching the Word of God to whoever's there, whoever's listening. You gotta teach it. E is going to be for excuses. You cannot have a God honoring legacy without excuses. With excuses, I'm sorry. I was raised in church. It didn't matter. To my shame, I walked away from the Lord. Got older. Wanted to be cool. Didn't want to be that peculiar person. We're going to talk about that later, just a little bit. But I didn't want to be that peculiar person that people thought about in church. They're the goofy person. They're the peculiar person. They didn't want nothing to do that. I didn't want anything to do that. I wanted to be fit in with my friends, be cool, want to be remembered as that aspect. Because of a God honoring legacy, though, it got me back to where I needed to be eventually. If you don't have a good legacy, then we're going to go to Romans 3:22. And we're going to go down to 25. "Even the righteous of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set before to be a propitiation with the faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past throughout the forbearance of God." Obviously, we're talking about salvation. If you didn't have a God-honoring legacy, first and foremost, you need to learn, you need to come to know the Lord as your Savior. You need to figure that part out. Excuses, we talk about our past legacies. I've talked about mine. It didn't give me an excuse. Future legacies. You have to be, again, back to learn. You need to be in your Bible. You need to learn from church, from God. You have to have that if you want a future legacy. God's not going to give you a pass because you have excuses. You can't say, "I came from this background. I came from this background. You don't know what I grew up with." No, I don't particularly know what anybody grew up with, okay? I've heard stories. I have my own stories. God's not going to give you a pass for those excuses. Okay, when you stand in front of the God Almighty and you explain why your legacy was what it was, you get no passes. If you're a Christian, you'll have a different set of requirements. Obviously, if you know your Bible, if you know the Word, you know what's in front of you, you know what's required of you. You have to do, there is no excuses. You have to be firm on every single point. You can't just, we'll give in on this, we'll give in on this. You have to be firm, okay? The last point under excuses is my wife's favorite saying, "Suck it up, buttercup." No matter what your past is, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get, again, back to, you have no passes, you have no excuses. Learn your Bible, preach your Bible in your house. Church is the best place to be to learn more about it. G is for generations that are giving up. I had a grandfather that I never met, which I'm named after. Sorry about this. He was a Christian pastor. He died before I saw him, ever met him. Heard wonderful stories about the man. Back in that generation, though, Sunday was a day that was set aside, set apart. You went to church, you relaxed at home or did whatever you wanted at home. Today we have none of that anymore. You can see by the people that are in church, and I'm not putting anybody down that's not here by any means, but you can tell by the churches you drive by. You can tell by the stores that are parking lots full. I don't want to cut down a restaurant, so I won't say the name, but I drive by it coming here every Sunday morning. Parking lot's full.
That's right.
They should be here. They don't want any part of it. I want to go to Joshua 24:15. That's in your Old Testament. Again, these are not going to be any groundbreaking verses. What do they have? 20. Do I got the right verse? I don't think so.
24:15.
Yeah. As for me and my house, but I'm not seeing it. What's that? Is it still in that? I'm not. Where am I not finding this? That's what I'm looking up, honey. What's that? 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land that ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Obviously, that's a decorative thing in a lot of houses today, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a reminder of what you're supposed to be doing. We have one that a lady painted on a rock for us when we first got married. You see it on the wall. It is a reminder. This is what we have to do as our family. Brother McVeigh had a 10 o'clock service when VBS was here. Only one I was able to make, but he hit on, if you won't allow language, we talk about language is not acceptable. You wouldn't allow it in your house, but you allow it come in that TV.
Yeah, that's good.
That's right.
That's good.
It hit hard. I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, but it's the truth. If we're gonna allow it into our house, how can we tell our kids not to do it?
That's right.
We gotta have guidance for the next generation. Devotions, prayer time, in church, living it. Getting guidance from others you respect or who are you trying. If you see somebody that's trying to do it right and they're living for the Lord, there's nothing wrong with going and asking them what are they doing. If you're struggling with something or something's not going right, you see a fellow believer that's doing it right, go and ask them what they're doing. Okay? Ask for advice. Ask for wisdom from them if you want to say. Obviously, your pastor's always ready to give you help at any time. Take advantage of it. Don't just pass it by, okay? Again, it took us a while to start a family devotion, but it's one of the best things to sit down with your family, talk about the Word of God, keep moving on. You can't. It's hard to do because Satan will throw things in your way constantly to try to block you from doing your devotions. You just have to stick with it. I will give you, I have the definition of a legacy, an amount of money or property left to someone in a will. And synonyms, bequest, inheritance, heritage, endowment, gift, patron, you get the idea. Another definition is a thing handed down by a predecessor, the legacy of centuries of neglect. And that's just putting in a phrase for you, the consequence, the effort, upshot, spinoff, aftermath. The aftermath of a legacy, that one phrase caught me, the legacy of centuries of neglect. That's where we're at with generations.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Just generation after generation of neglect with our legacy, okay?
Wow.
So let's go to A for acknowledge, and we might have you out in 15 minutes.
That's good, bro.
Acknowledge, we need to acknowledge before our family that all things are from God. Now that's easily said, it's easily heard, but it's in the good, it's in the bad. Nobody wants to go through the bad, but when you do, God's there. We've talked about being alone in our Sunday school class. God has the power to bring it through. He's always with you. You're never alone. The good or the bad, you have to give him the acknowledgement. Be consistent with your acknowledgement. You need to...
That's right.
We had a missionary at Grace Bible one time said, you get a flat tire, go around and kick the other three. Woo! I got three tires that are still inflated. You got to give God the glory for whatever's coming in. Thing. Other big thing, don't play church. Do not play church. You've got to live it. Your kids, your neighbors, your family are all watching what you're doing. And if you're making a stand, you miss two Sundays out of a month, somebody's going to see it. Somebody's going to notice it. Somebody's going to... You've got to be consistent. Can't play the games. Family examples. And Pastor Haney did this for us today, so this shouldn't be hard to do. When we see fire trucks or ambulances as a family going down the road, pick somebody, they have a word of prayer for who's...
That's good. That's right. That's good.
Pastor did the perfect example of it today.
Yep.
Prayed for whoever's in... We don't know what the problem is. We don't need to know the problem. The Lord just wants the prayer.
That's good.
Restaurants, huge. A lot of times, this is where that don't want to be a peculiar person falls in, but... Reach over, grab each other's hands, pray for your meal. People, I've heard about this, I've never done it, to ask your waitress or waiter if they have a prayer request before you pray. I've never done it. Someday I will. But they got problems too. They could use some prayer too, you know. So try it. Give it a try. I heard this on the radio, so I can't take any credit. I mean, I'd love to say I came up with this on my own. I didn't. But we have to, the guy gave a used cement as an example, and I changed it a little bit. But if anybody's ever done cement, you put a frame around it. Okay, it's a boundary for that cement, so it can't go wherever it wants to go. But if anybody's worked with cement, you smooth it out, you skirt it off, it looks perfect. I think anybody and everybody has signed their name in wet cement, or they've put a footprint or a handprint or something like that. It's just something that people do with cement. So a reminder forever. Well, that has a lot to do with your legacy as well. If a dog runs through that cement, you've got to go through the work again, get it smoothed out. You want it to dry the way you want it to be. A kid is a lot like wet cement. If you're not raising them or training them correctly, they're going to harden with all the steps.
That's good.
I guess I'd love to take credit for it. It wasn't me, but when you have that, they're continually soaking up what you're putting in front of them. So if you're giving them, if you're screaming at them, if you're hollering at them, if you're not giving them the time of day, that is all impacting how they're going to form. Okay. Another side effect of why I said you put a boundary, because you need to give your kids boundaries. If you just pour cement out there, it's going to go everywhere. If you have a boundary for them, they're going to mold in that work. Okay. I'm going to get off a little bit on this, but dating. And it's not because my kids, I got girls, it's just when my wife and I, we were dating, when we started thinking things were heading in that direction, we had discussions and we talked about, obviously having kids, we talked about church, what we felt was important as far as church attendance, different things. We also, we knew how, we had predetermined how we would discipline our kids, okay? A lot of people today, they're dating just, and I'm not cutting on a couple that just got married, because I'm just saying, when you get married and you're looking at these aspects of having kids, discipline is a huge thing that's gonna come up in your marriage. And you need to discuss it. You need to be on board with each other how you're going to discipline your kids. If you're going to do it biblically, or if I can tell you right now, if we were not on board and in sync with each other, our house would be a mess.
Sure.
Because one would say we're going to do it from the Bible, the other would say, and it goes right along with being unequally yoked in marriage. You save yourself so much by being equally yoked. And when you do that and you follow the Bible, it will fall in the step of discipline, how you're going to use your money, how you're going to, all that stuff. That stuff needs to be discussed all the way back in dating, okay? In my opinion, there's nothing biblical in this as far as, in my opinion, you need to discuss these things so that your marriage goes a lot smoother. You don't have these complications. You don't have these problems. You don't have these fights later on in life, okay? The C is for choices. It's up to you how you'll leave your family legacy. You can choose the world or the word, light or darkness. Go hand in hand, same thing. And then I just got to list a few things that we're different from than the world if we're following and we're living for the Lord and we're following the Lord. These are obvious things. Again, nothing groundbreaking here, but tithes and offerings. And as a parent, I suggest we give our kids chores. They get an allowance for how many chores they've done. Okay, just an example. You don't have to follow what we do. If they don't do the chore, they don't get paid for it. Okay. When we set down, tithing is supposed to be obviously 10%. It's supposed to be done first, is what it says. So when we sit down with our kids and say, did you do this chore, this chore, this chore? Okay, you made this much money. Okay, what's God's? You have to teach that from day one.
That's right. That's
don't just, well, you did all right, and this is your allowance for today. And they got to know that God was responsible for that money. They need to know that they have to tithe that back. 1 Timothy 6:10, which Pastor hit right around it in his message, talks how the world would deal with it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you raise your kids to, it's all about the money, it's all about yourself, that's what they're going to turn out like. That's the legacy you're going to have. And that's what the world's heading in that direction fast. If you're teaching them, this is God's, this was first, God deserves us first, it's going to happen. Even when I wasn't living for the Lord, I was still living in my parents' house as an adult. I still knew I had a tithe. Whether I was living for the Lord or I wasn't living for the Lord, I knew that that was right. And if I wanted any kind of blessing, which I didn't deserve, I needed to do my tithe. So, kind of hitting that hard, but as you're teaching your kids, to teach them to tithe. It's not theirs. I mean, if they've worked for it, part of it's theirs. God has supplied the rest, so they need to know that. Devotions, we hit on 2 Timothy already. 2:15, study to show thyself approved. Set time apart to have devotions, to sit down and talk about the Word of God. If you're not teaching the Word of God in your house, it's not going to come forward. It's going to show. Prayer for meals. We, as much as possible, sit down around the table. I mean, if I have to go to sleep early, it doesn't happen or whatever, but sit around the table, eat together, pray together for your meal. Set that legacy up. So whether they follow it or not, they've been taught it.
That's right.
So again, you have to give an answer to God. You can say, I'm sorry where they fell. I did this. I taught them this stuff. We did this thing. The world says, there's too much going on. Let's go. We got to do this. We got to do that. Grab food on the way and we'll eat it in the car. There's times that's going to happen. You're in a hurry. You got to do it. But as much as possible, sit around a table together. Whether you want to be there or not, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be around each other. Attendance to church. We already talked about it. Be peculiar. Let your neighbors see that you're peculiar. Not cutting out my wife's family. They go to a church in the morning. They don't have evening church. And they'll always ask us to do something on that Sunday. It's like, we can't. We got church. Well, our family will be in church. Does that give some rough feelings every once in a while? Yeah. But, I mean, I can understand if it's somebody you haven't seen in 10 years and you're having a family get together, I wouldn't have a problem with you going and doing that. That's not a problem. But if once a month you found some reason to not be there, then you got a problem. You got to get to figure something out there. Again, be peculiar. Church doors are open. We should all be here, if possible, learning more about the Lord, getting what He wants us to learn. Strife. Watch the news today. The world is in complete strife. The world doesn't know how to handle strife because they haven't been taught how to handle strife. They haven't been taught in a church who's in control. Again, we have God. We have the power. They don't have that. They don't understand it. They're not going to grasp it until they see us do it. Okay? Again, neighbors are watching us. We got to be the person we're supposed to be, the help we can be. Again, language. I talked about the TV earlier. I can't even watch a sports show anymore without swearing in it.
Yeah, I know, man. Yes, sir.
That one's really tough for me. Because we used to, before Brother McVeigh did that message, we obviously aren't watching Filthy, Filthy Show, but they would swear. And we would say, we don't say that. Well, we don't. But by saying that, we're pretty much giving a pass too. So,
yeah.
I don't like that point, but it has to be done if it's going to be followed through with. Drama, again, goes right along with strife. There's so much drama out there, and the big one is social media. I'm not better than anybody else, I'm just dumber. I just finally texted 5 months ago for the first time, and I would rather not do that. I would rather still call somebody than do it. There is so much stuff out there for especially the younger kids today. Their parents can't see what they're talking about, what they're doing, and it brings up so much drama. I'm not saying to ban electronics, but know what's on their electronics. Don't just say, well, here's a phone, go play with it. Know what they're doing. It's in this world today, there's so much on there. Years ago when I got my first flip phone, whoever had the number before me obviously used it for wrong reasons. And I had a message, I flipped it up, and I had naked pictures on my phone. Now we used to, Pastor Greg and Grace Bible used to say, don't let the smell of the barn get into the house. Well, the smell is already in the house now, guys. Phones are in your house, phones are everywhere, media's everywhere. The smell's in the house.
Yes,
we just gotta make sure that we try to do our best to keep it out, okay? And with raising kids, that's a huge thing with keeping an eye on their social media.
Yes, sir.
Disciplining children. You gotta do it the proper way. Bible tells you, again, if you don't know, get in your word. Not every discipline's gonna need a spanking. Bible tells you that you're supposed to spank them. But when you find something that you can be a little lenient on, be a little lenient on it. But the way we particularly do it, we discuss what the, I'll say, infraction was.
That's right. That's good.
What was wrong, and we look up in the Bible where it was wrong. The Bible tells you this is what you did. I'll just use lying. Ten commandments tell you that thou shalt not lie. Ephesians 6:1, my kids can quote it. Children, obey your parents. They sometimes really get sick of that. But the other side of discipline is not provoking your child to wrath. You have to do it in the proper manner, show them that you love them. When the discipline's over, hug them, kiss them,
amen.
Tell them
yes,
you love them. It's the only way they're going to hopefully learn from us for the next generation. The last one under choice is priorities. Again, this falls back to church going a lot of times. If I have Gracie want to play softball this year, Wednesday night they schedule practice. I'm going to that coach and I'm saying, I want my daughter playing a team, but she's going to be in church. That's Wednesday night. You got to set your priorities.
Right.
If you give in on one of those, the world's going to take over. You're out of luck. Okay? You got to set your priorities. The why is for your role and your responsibility. And its subtitle I have is Your House's Legacy. I turn to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Jumped on you to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 6 through 9, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Obviously, we don't bind something to our forehead today. We don't put things on our posts. We talked about the plaque for Joshua. That's putting it on your doorpost. I mean, if you've got signs you can find that are good biblical signs, if you make your own signs up, but remind them, this for this house, this is what we're going to do. Amen. They have their friends over. We have a kind of a situation that we're not really having to deal with, but it's become an issue. A friend of our daughter lives up the road two houses. They're in the same class. They want to spend time together. Anytime that girl calls down so that our daughter can go up, we have to refuse because we know that there's not very good actions in that house. The girl's allowed to come down our house anytime she wants. But you have to set those things up, and hopefully that girl will see the difference.
That's good, brother. That's awesome.
That's all we can do. Again, Joshua 24:15 falls into that. As for our house, this is what we're going to do. That's the father and mother's role. The mother also, you have Proverbs 31. We're not going to take the time to read it, obviously. Tells a woman how she's supposed to be the helper to the mate, to the husband. She's supposed to be the neck that turns the head. I've heard several times. we're supposed to lead, but she turns the neck, tells us which way to go. Another one is in 1 Timothy 5:14. I will therefore that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And that's basically if the father has said something, the wife needs to help out with that. If the husband has erred, it's also the job of the wife to say, "Not, I told you that was wrong. Can you look at this, or can you read this, or can you show me this?" Do it in the loving way, not the "I told you so" way, because that's not going to go far. I'm a man, and that doesn't go far. The children's responsibility, or the children's role, and then we'll go to Ephesians 6:1. Obviously, everybody knows this one, but if I can find it. There we go. My daughters will probably quote it with me, but "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And do verse 2. "Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise. Now I want to stop right there because I'm going to use, I used this example in front of Dale and Amy, so they probably know this is coming, but it's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. He didn't want to die on that cross. He didn't want to come to earth. He didn't want to leave separation, the separation between him and God, but he did it because his father told him to do it. At every level, whether you're a kid all the way to a grandparent, and if you're a Christian, you're still a child of God. Okay? So we all have to obey that verse. Honor our father, honor our mother, honor God, no matter what level you're at or where you're at. Personally, that applies also to us. We overuse it a lot on kids because we want to say, "Yep, see, it's right there. You're supposed to do that." But then we don't take the responsibility. We're still a child of God. We're still, Jesus left the perfect legacy as far as he said, I honored my father. When he was on earth, I'm pretty sure he honored his earthly mother. He left that legacy for us to hand down and give to others. The last category I have is others. It takes a village to raise a child. A lot of times, and this is, I'm not going to say, this is just my own opinion too, a lot of times parents raise their kids, they get to the grandparent stage, and they want to have fun with their kids, the grandkids, and that's fine. There's also times where they'll overlook what their own children are doing as far as raising their kids. I feel personally, if you have a biblical reason, it doesn't matter if your kid's 36. If your kid is doing something wrong and you see it and you know it, you have to do it in a loving way. But you need to point that out to them. And if they blow you off, if they tell you to get lost, but when you stand before God, you've done what He asked you to do. It does, again, if you're a believer and you see neighbor kids, it takes a village. And if they don't have that Christian example, I'm not saying you adopt them and take them in, but you can do, if they come in for a treat, pray for the treat. You've got to do the things they're not seeing, the opportunities that they don't get. I told you at the beginning of this lesson how I chose to walk away from the Lord, despite the legacy my parents were building for me to follow. Now, if you weren't brought up in a Christian home, you have that choice to start a new legacy, because now is the time to mold your children before it's too late. However, because my parents stood strong and true to the faith,
yes,
and to the Savior, it gave me a huge difference. I knew where to come back to.
Yes.
Right. Yes, sir.
Because of the legacy that left me. If you have a legacy that you are not proud of, you have a God that has the ability to change that to affect the future generations.
Amen.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
You didn't keep your word. You said we'd get out of here in about 10, 15 minutes. That was 35 minutes long. Man, what's it going to be like when he isn't so nervous?
Oh, boy, yeah. It's good.
That'll go on the website.
Yep.
Yeah. Come on, Luke, wake up.
When is that going on?
Babe.
It will go on.